Good evening, fellow saints. Hopefully you can hear me okay. We are going to we'll be getting in verse 14 mainly. It seems like it's been a while since I've been on, about 85% prepared. I'm probably may not even get all the way through this verse tonight, but I'm kind of thinking the best way to start this would be after a prayer to go back a few verses and read that, and then try to accomplish or attack this from the standpoint of trying to determine what the good deposit is that I think was in Paul first, and then Timothy, and then the other saints. So that's going to be basically what we'll be talking about is the good deposit, even though the word's not mentioned there. It says that good thing. So let's bow our heads. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to open your word, to share it. And we trust that each one of us would gain that knowledge and information that you would have us to know, that we might be better saints for you, that we might use this opportunity to know more about you and your plans and your future plans for us. So we ask all these things. We ask that you would continue to receive our thanks for all that you do, and that we would continue to put you first in each of our lives. We ask these things in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. So let's go back just a few verses, and probably start in verse 10. And it says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel," or that message that he would have us each to know and understand. I think this could very well be part and partial of this good deposit. This knowledge that these men had, that the disciples prior to Paul, prior to his understanding and prior to God revealing it to Paul, and then Paul revealing it to others, this is this is something that's really good knowledge to have. It's the type of knowledge that will give us the strength to go on and to not be depressed by all those things that are going on in the world. It just seems like if we keep our focus on Christ and what he's done and what he's going to do, that it will enable us to be able to keep this good deposit and to guard it. He says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." That certainly is good news for us to have our own apostle, to have the apostle Paul, who well and is able to explain to us what we need to know, and what we know to keep us in his sight and to be pleasing unto him. And he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So again, I think about the deposit that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, put in Paul, I think in his mind and in his spirit and in his person, the whole aspect of this affects everything Paul does, his actions, his lifestyle, his commitments. Everything that he does is a direct result of this information, this knowledge of the mystery, and this ability to be able to share it. You can think of it this way. I think it's true that the Lord was speaking through Paul, that Paul was willing and was able to be able to live a life that was pleasing unto the Lord and to share that information with those that have been chosen, with those who wanted to know the truth, who desired to live for the Lord. So when he says to guard these things, to keep these things, I think the main thought that came to my mind tonight, that the enemy would be attacking us, that the enemy would try to get us to be found thinking about other things, walking in a way that wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord. And yet we have the promise here that if we choose to use this information, use this knowledge, that the Lord will honor that, and that our lives will not be in vain. They won't be something that we would be ashamed of. That we, as we stand before the Lord in His appearing, we will be approved. We will receive that crown of righteousness. So he says, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. I was listening to a song today. Someone was using that 1 Corinthians 13 and talking about how the importance of how love is so very important. It's the most important thing. It's really what motivated the Lord to reach out and to seek us out, to actually become as a man, be born as a man, a human, and then to give up his life for us, so that we could be in his very presence. So when I think about these things, I guess the most important gift we all have is that ability to be able to love one another. That ability to, if we allow the Spirit to work in us, to be able to love in a way that He loved. And so, as I think about what this good thing is, I think this is this ability to have faith, and this ability to have love for others, and not be so self-centered, so focused on ourselves, focused on our lives, that we miss the mark. And so he says in verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And so, you know, I think all believers have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. But I wonder if there isn't, for body members, a special ability or a special knowledge that we have, which is unique. Sometimes when we try to explain this to others who have no knowledge of it, it seems like a mystery to them. It seems like it's foreign to them, something that they don't grasp. But I believe those that are members do hear this message. They do receive this message, and it changes their life. It changes their lifestyle. It changes their desires of wanting to serve the Lord and put Him first. So a good thing. I think it's something that especially non-believers don't have. They don't have this ability to understand the Scriptures and to understand that God has a plan and purpose, and He has a plan and purpose for Israel, but He also has a plan and purpose for us as members of His body. We fill Him up and He fills us up. So this, the very fact that the Holy Spirit would choose to dwell in us is something, as I think about it, it just seems almost more than I can imagine, that He would desire to do that and to choose us to further the understanding and the knowledge of His plan, His purpose for the ages even. I think this plan, although it's coming along at the last days, at a later time, I think it was a plan that He had in view first. A plan and a purpose that He's was going to work through after He gave Israel that opportunity to go and be a someone who would talk about Him and would reveal Him. And of course we know they eventually missed the mark, and He'll give them another opportunity later when He comes again the second time. But for now, I think His plan and purpose concerns us as body members. And I think one of the main things about this good thing which was committed unto thee, and you know, I thought about this too. It says it's not just to him, but that it wasn't just to Paul, but it was given to men like that. Obviously, I don't think we have apostles today, but I certainly think that we can be disciples. I think we can be the Holy Spirit is actually the teacher, but we can share the truth. And those that will hear and those that will respond to it, it seems to me like He gives them even more information and more knowledge, and helps them. The Holy Spirit helps each and every one of us to remain faithful, to continue to, no matter what the circumstances, to be on guard, to be careful, and yet at the same time be bold to speak the truth about this mystery calling, this mystery hope that we each have. The first word we're going to go look at is that word, good thing. And I just looked at several words. The word was 2570, talking about the word good. And most of the references I'm going to be looking at are in 1st and 2nd Timothy. But I think as I just go through each one of these verses and think about them briefly, that we'll begin to appreciate what it means to be called a good thing, or to be able to do good acts, that these actions are acceptable unto God. This ability was in Paul and Timothy and other saints who would use this knowledge and share it with others, the knowledge of these good things. And it just to have that freedom to be able to please the Lord with our actions without having to do the same things that Israel had to do is truly remarkable. And we don't want that freedom, that grace, to do wrong, but to do that which pleases the Lord. It seems to me like when he's talking about keeping these things, it means to secure and put emphasis on them, realize that it's something that is unique in us. It should be, when we think about it should be something that encourages us, because not everyone at different times and different seasons had the ability to please the Lord without doing animal sacrifices and shedding blood. But now we know that would be something that wouldn't please the Lord. Doing the same thing that Israel did to please the Lord wouldn't be acceptable today, because of how the Lord has already paid the price and taken care of all these things. So our first reference will be in 1 Timothy 1:8. And I'll just start with 7 just for context's sake. It says, "Designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully." So obviously it can be used, the word could be used unlawfully. It could be used wrongly. I've heard some say that some people use the word just to get their own way, and they try to manipulate others by taking stuff, verses out of context, and trying to just trying to use the word for their own benefit. He says in verse 9, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." I thought of the one about telling people not to drink and drive. And if you don't drink, then that law has no effect on you. If you're, because of medicine or the medicine you're on or whatever, if that's your reason for not drinking, then this law that applies to people that drive under the influence doesn't apply to us. That's what I think this means, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, for someone who's not breaking the law. But it's for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And it goes on and talks about the others. It says whoremongers that defile themselves and so on. So we can see that there was nothing wrong with the law in and of itself. It was only wrong if it was misused or mishandled or abused. And so we know the law, the purpose of the law really was to prove that these people were sinners, that they needed a Savior, and He was going to provide the Savior for them. So when we think about the law is good. It's a good law. It's one that, when used properly, is very effective. Then let's go down to verse 18. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." And he goes on and mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered into Satan. So this was a good example of a couple men who misused the things that wouldn't encourage the faith, but the things that weakened someone's faith, that put them in situations where they could fail and would fail. And so I think there's men like this around us, even now. And I know we're not to judge one another, but I know also that we can tell by the fruit that they produce whether they're doing good or evil. And so, I think that's even though I'm not judging the person, I think I can determine whether they're living right or living properly and doing good, or whether they're not. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, I need to read verse 2 to tell you what he's saying is good. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. who will have all men to be saved. He desires that. He's willing that this would happen. He's provided a way where they all could be. But of course we know that some refuse. They don't want to take the gift. They don't want to live for the Lord. He says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge, and I think it's the full knowledge of the truth. And he goes on to say there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so when we think about good, we can always think about the different things that the Lord has provided, that the Lord is doing to keep us, to guard us, and to even use us to reveal himself to them. So even if they don't pick up the word, even if they don't study the word, which we would encourage that they do, but even if they refuse to do that, they can learn about the Lord through what we say and what we share with them. The next one is in chapter 3 in verse 1. I think in a nutshell, the way we could say this, if it's a good work, God's involved in it. We know that God cannot lie, and we know that he speaks the truth, and we know that the word is good for us. The things that it provides, the thing the word provides, is good for us. So he says here in verse 1, 1 Timothy 3:1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, and a bishop is somebody who's an overseer or someone who's taking a position of leadership, he desireth a good work. In other words, that's a good position to find yourself in. One who desires to be an overseer. But then they have these qualifications. The bishop has, he says in verse 2, then you must be blameless, a husband of one wife, and we'll say at a time. Because it is possible to have more than one wife through various circumstances, but you can only have one at a time. You can't have two or three or several and be pleasing to the Lord. It says that they ought to be sober and of good behavior, given to hospitality and apt to teach. And then on the negative side of that, not given to wine nor a striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church or the called out assembly of God? So, and there's more rules there. We won't go and read all those, but it just has that idea. Again, when I think of something good, it's something that pleases the Lord. And when we think of receiving the well done, it's because we're doing those things that the Lord instructed us to do. And I believe it's a, the rules are there. They're not necessarily laws, but they're rules. There are instructions there, and these instructions are good for us. So we need to be found doing those things. Then I want to go down to verse 7. He says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. In other words, if you do something that's not good, it's not part of these instructions, you put yourself in a position that the devil can turn things around or twist things in such a way that you don't appear to be someone who is trying to serve the Lord and trying to guard and keep the deposit that he has in us. Chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, if thou put a brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up. And what this was saying just prior to this, we won't read it all, but it was talking about giving instructions and informing them on how they could be found pleasing unto the Lord, that could be of service to Him. And so he's informing them that that if we should do that, that we should put the brethren in remembrance, that we should consider the situations that they're in, and that we should try to be an encouragement to them, nourished up as someone who's fed and who's it says here, the nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And so again, I think the Lord is telling us that we need to share. It's not so much, you know, you get the knowledge and don't use it. I think it's a matter of getting the knowledge and using it and sharing it that the Lord considers to be good. Because I think the Lord likes us thinking about Him, and I think He likes us talking about Him. And I think He enjoys it when we just repeat His promises, that all these things show His character and show what kind of God He is. And so whenever we repeat those things and remind others about the Lord and the fact that He is good, and everything He does out of love for us, that's His motivation for doing that. I can't find that verse, but let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4:7. 2 Timothy. Oh, I know what it was. It was chapter 6, verse 18. That's what it was. If I get to that chapter, I ought to be able to find that verse. So back to 1 Timothy 6:18. He says, I'm going to read 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they may be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. It's like, you know, getting involved with conversations about, you know, where everything started, and talking about evolution, and questions like, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. It's things like that that are just, they're foolish. They're not the truth. And they don't deserve our time or energy to discuss them. He says in 21, which some professing have erred concerning faith. Concerning the faith, grace be with thee. Amen. So that's the problem with discussing some of these things. It can hurt someone else's faith, someone who's not strong in it, someone who doesn't completely understand the importance of God's Word and His truth. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 4:7. And I need to read verse 6 first. He says, "For I am," this is referring to Paul, "now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I think when he's talking about his departure, he's talking about resurrection. And I think he knows and understands when he passes in this life, the next thing he'll know is being in the presence of the Lord, no matter how much time passes. He says, "I fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love or have this huge regard for his appearing." It's something that we should value. We should realize how when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. And that's going to be a glorious occasion. And to be in his presence will be something that will just overwhelm us. Again, as I think about these good things, I think about it's all the things that the Lord's involved with. It's all the things that he is doing, his plan, his purpose. And he is using us to talk about that, think about that, think about these good things the Lord has done. He says, "For a bishop or an overseer must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Hold fast the faithful word, and as he hath been taught, that he may be able by the sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." And these are the men here he's mentioning next here are the opposite. He says, "For there are many unruly, vain talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." In other words, they're profiting off of their instructions, and they're doing that for profit. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." And then, that's as far as I wanted to read there. But I think we should, you know, at least get the thought in our mind, the fact that they do come from the Lord. And the fact that he is, you know, he's working through us. It was originally through Paul and Timothy and men like him. But it's also, missions are not outdated. Or they just didn't fit for these men that we're talking about who first received these things. These things have been repeated. And we can and are able to believe them, have faith in them, and guard and keep them. The other word that we got into, let's go back to 2 Timothy 1:14. "That good thing which was committed unto thee," and there's a Greek word, parakatathekia, and it's the Greek number, Strong's number, 3872, and it's a compound of two words, 3844 and 2698. I'm not going to go through all those words, But I do believe it's referring again to this deposit. I think it's a sacred trust is deposited in each of us to use wisely for the Master. Imagine God Almighty using us to bring out these truths, His truths, about the mystery, right division, and His plans and purpose. If you think about that, that's a great thing to entrust in another man, to have him teach this and share this, and to help others to remember it, how good it is, and how that we can and will be used of the Lord if we're serious about it, and if we truly have a desire to share it. I think I know Paul prayed for opportunities to share it, and I know that we should also share or pray that the Lord would give us opportunities to share these great truths. And then he goes on to say, which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit. I don't really like that word ghost. I think spirit is the word. It's that word pneuma, the Greek word pneuma, and it's the Holy Spirit, or the Helios pneuma. And it's not an invisible, ghostly thing. He's the third person of the Godhead, and the part that's unique is that He desires to dwell in us. It says, "God, Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us." So I think that He is doing that. That He is in my mind and heart, dwelling in me, and giving me information, things that He kept secret from others, especially His enemies, but knowledge that I can open up the Word of God, and I can study it and search it and find the truth. So I think when we do that, he goes on to say a thing committed to do by the Holy Spirit, which indwelt in us. It also has that idea to keep it, or to guard it, and that is Strong's number 5442, and thulasso, it means to guard or to preserve or to obey. And if you can think about it, one of the easiest ways to guard it would be to follow the instructions that are there. Follow the rules. Meditate on them. Think about them. Think on them. And then try to obey them, and even encourage others to do that. Because it's good for them. And it's pleasing unto the Lord. And the last word there was that word dwelleth. It's number 1774, and it's inokeko, and it means to inhabit. Inhabit our mind, inhabit our bodies, and just if you think about it, if you really think these things through, and allow the Spirit to change your mind or change your attitudes, it will surely change our actions and put us in a position where we can be used by Him. So that's what I think he's sharing with Timothy, and I think he's sharing with us is the fact that this is very important, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is indwelling us, and He wants us to keep or to value or to guard these truths, and not not look at them like they are not all that important, or that God may have something else going on that's more important. I don't think there is anything in this dispensation that is more important to us than to believe and acknowledge that there were men that went before us that received the truth to share with us Gentiles, and that we have the ability with the Holy Spirit's help to do those things that are pleasing unto Him. So with that, let's close with a quick word of prayer, and then we'll open the mic up. Our Heavenly God and Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what it means to us. We thank You for this good deposit that each of us have. And we pray that You'd give us opportunities to be able to share them and to remember these things, that we might not sin against You. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to bless each one that we've been praying for, and that You'd answer the prayer requests of the saints according to Your will. We ask all these things, and we thank You for all these things in His name, the Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. So let me open this, or unlock the mic here.